Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, talking with Scott Johnson with the IHSA. We've been doing this every year for many years, looking at the projection and simulation of the forthcoming playoffs that are announced Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And people have been asking me, why have you not had Scott Johnson on? Well, we've been seeking clarity from the IHSA board in regards to the Chicago Public League with those schools that are on strike. And Scott Johnson, finally, some solid information and decisions made regarding that today. So that clears up a lot of things. And basically, the IHSA allowing Chicago Public League teams to be considered for the playoffs, regular process. But the one caveat in all this is they have to be in school by Wednesday if they qualify for the playoffs, or those are first-round forfeits. So do you want to add or subtract anything to that, I guess? I know everyone around the state was really waiting for some decision to be made today.
Right, and of course we were too, and we're glad that we were finally able to get things written down on paper and being able to go ahead with some of our planning and the simulation that we do at this time of year also. So onward and upward.
Yeah, onward and upward. So really the only thing this does, I know we've talked about over the years, about really the big issue is the 5-4 teams qualifying, and do they have enough playoff points to get in? And the issue here with the Chicago Public League means that not necessarily this doesn't impact, you would say, 5-4 teams, but some 5-3 teams, you have to say, this year qualify for the field.
Right, exactly. You know, because these schools in Chicago will have missed the Week 9 game, there are some critical games that would have taken place this week with maybe a 4-win team going up into the 5-4, or even some of these 5-3s that have low playoff points that may not qualify but might otherwise have qualified if they'd been able to play this week. And the upshot of that is that there will be a few more schools from outside of Chicago that make it, and that has kind of depressed the cutoff point for those 5-win teams to get into the playoffs.
And that, with your simulation, you just basically do a simulation involving Week 9 games. And when we talk about playoff points, we're talking about opponents' wins on your schedule. So when you talk about historically low, I know in past years, I think last year was 38 was the cutoff, year before 39. I think the highest ever was 40 back in 2000 and I think 11 maybe. So what does it show then this year?
Well, we're at the very bottom of the curve, and at the bottom of the curve there aren't many schools to even occupy the positions there. In the simulation, and it's just a simulation, that the last two teams that did not make it with 5 wins were both Chicago Public League schools, and one of them had 21 points, playoff points, and one of them had 26. The first school that did make it had 29, so I guess you could say that's the cutoff. But as I said, they're kind of widespread there at the bottom of the curve, so it will probably be higher. The simulation tends to undershoot just a little bit, and you know, maybe a couple more 5-win teams will be excluded. We can't say for sure, but it will definitely not be anywhere near what it has been in some past years.
Right. So we're talking basically then from a downstate listening audience, basically all 5-4 schools right now as we talk today, looks like a pretty good chance that they're going to get in. Now, in past years, I think last year 18 schools with 5 wins did not qualify. I think the height was 2011, 25 schools didn't qualify. Now, I know going into before this Chicago Public League issue was resolved about if, you know, the Chicago Public League schools with this strike, if they were not allowed to participate, or if the strike would have ended their season and not allowed them to participate in the playoffs without the IHSA waiver, there was some talk of, well, how many 4-5 schools are going to get in? Well, of course, now that's not going to happen, with the exception, right? If you win a conference at 4-5, you qualify for the playoffs as a conference rep. So the simulation shows that a 4-5 team is going to get in, but that's pending them winning their conference, right?
Correct. I mean, I suppose there's a slight chance that a 4-5 could get in as an at-large, but I don't think we're going to see it this year. And I should have mentioned there's one other reason why the number is kind of going down now, and that is that a number of schools, I believe there are 18 schools now that are playing eight-man football, up from about 8 last year. So the number of schools in the pool to begin with who are eligible for the playoff pairings has gone down this year. And so that means more schools will qualify at 5-4.
All right, so let's get into it for our listening audience specifically. You know, we talk about the small school audience in our area of the state, the 1A, 2A, 3A, and everybody says, well, what is Scott Johnson's projection simulation going to show for the 1A, 2A cutoff, 2A, 3A, and then 3A, 4A? And I know, you know, every year you always kind of talk down this simulation and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal, Taylor. It's just this simple simulation I do every year. But our listening audience begs to differ because they go crazy about it. And multiple people have private messaged me and said, why aren't you having Johnson on this year? So we have you on. So this is the big thing that our listening audience gets into here. So what is the simulation show in terms of the enrollment classification cutoffs?
I don't know, Jim. That's a lot of pressure you're putting on me here. So it looks like, according to the simulation, again, the cutoff between 1A and 2A is showing up at 296. And at between 2A and 3A at 405. And then for 3A and 4A, turn the page at 541.
All right. And I know 296 is Athens, 405 is Nashville, and 541 is Clark out of Chicago. And I think last year 292 was the cutoff for 1A, 2A, 399 for 2A, 3A, and then 561 for 3A, 4A. Now, are you seeing, is that an impact, you know, that's determined by who the 256 qualifiers are the eight biggest, are the 32 biggest, or 8A, the next 32 biggest, or 7A, and so on. Now, is the eight man impacting some of that stuff or not?
It will. You know, the numbers I just gave you are very similar to what we saw last year. But again, it's just a simulation. It could end up being, significantly different, I suppose. But yes, the eight man teams are coming from obviously the smallest group, probably the 1A. And as they kind of depopulate that class, I wouldn't be surprised to see that number rise over the course of the next few years.
All right. I know, is again, we're talking with Scott Johnson with the IHSA here, and I know, 7A and 8A are a little bit differently than 1A through 6A. 7A and 8A are true 1 through 32 seeds. All right. So there's some clarity in how it's pretty simple how the bracket is determined there. But, I talked about this with my radio friend Brian Roosh today with the weekly segment we do. And I know that the small school football coaches are going to say, don't say this, Taylor. But I like the fact, for me, you know, because I hear a lot, most of the small school coaches I talk to, they want a 1 through 32 bracket, you know, and I get that. And one of the years that we had a 1 through 32 bracket, we were fortunate in our listening audience, two schools that were 12 miles apart, Aledo and Rock Ridge in 1998, who was seeded 1 through 32. They got to the state title game and played in the state championship game. Cool story. But in terms of like, leading up to the pairings night, you know, in terms of trying to determine what the bracket looks like, and there's all this speculation, a lot of people do brackets, and a lot of media people do the brackets leading up to the playoff pairings. But see, the thing I like about 1A through 6A is, you know, where there's some subjectivity to where the split is going to be in terms of the state, whether it's going to be more of a north-south, which everybody likes to call it a north-south, or is there a little wiggle room between east and west to determine how those 16 teams are split. And that's what I like the most about the 1A through 6A, because that's where the tough decisions, I guess, have to be made in terms of how the split is going to be made. Long story short, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's something that Sam Knox, who's the administrator in charge of football, kind of studies in the week prior to the pairings day. And on Saturday morning, he takes a look at the last simulation, and there are only a few games to guess at that point, right? So it's pretty sure, you know, of what's going to end up on the map and where schools are going to be in which class. And, you know, we try to be fair about making that cut, and oftentimes it is a direct east-west line between the top, or the northernmost 16 and the southernmost 16. Doesn't have to be. The policy doesn't say that it has to be, but, you know, I guess all things being equal, that is the easiest and most fair thing to do, and that's generally what happens.
Yeah, and I know from a small school standpoint that, you know, I think this year in our area that, and I like it, the storyline, because it impacts what is going on then Saturday in terms of, and I know probably the IHSA staff doesn't necessarily like a lot of these games that are played on Saturday. I know they have to kick off by 12 noon, but, like, I know there's a game between Fulton and Newman that has huge ramifications on seeding. You know, if Newman wins, it goes one way. If Fulton wins, it goes the other way. I know, like, a game tonight between Orion and Morrison in our area has an impact on seeding in 1A, in 2A. So stuff like that going on has a dramatic impact on these pairings. And I guess I should have began our conversation. Just how you do this simulation is, you say it's pretty simple. Basically, all you do is pick the winners going into week 9, and then that determines basically what your simulation shows. That's basically how you do it.
Right, and it's not, you know, a complicated guess either. It's not trying to delve into, you know, the AP ratings or any kind of power rating. So, you know, it's basically just to get the schools on the map in the appropriate classes so we can kind of scope out and see where there might be issues and, you know, places that might be need some special attention.
All right. So you're not going to say you're the Lee Corso of the IHSA then, no?
I would never say that.
I'm just judging you. All right, so it's been a pleasure working. I think Scott Johnson has been with the IHSA, told me off the air, 26 years. I don't know if we've worked with him all 26 years, but I can tell you I've worked with him for many of those years. And I just wanted to say thanks to Scott. You talk about a class dude and a fine representation of the IHSA and just interscholastic athletics in general. And I saw the tweet, and I don't know who tweeted it out from the IHSA office, but it was perfect. But I would add one edit to it, and it said, the godfather of State High School Association IT. I mean, this is great, a compliment. And I would also add the godfather of State High School Association history lessons, because this is Scott Johnson doing all that stuff. So I want to pat you on the back. I've appreciated your work, Scott, and I hope in retirement you're still doing some special projects related to, you know, maybe some local history or high school athletic history, because I've really appreciated it, and I know many of our listeners have appreciated it as well. So congratulations on a great run at the IHSA and the footprint that you have with the website and the development of that over the years is truly impressive. So, again, I mean it sincerely. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim, very much for those kind words, and I'll try to stay active and try to be around.
All right, Scott Johnson, man, it's kind of bittersweet. The last time we're going to do this IHSA playoff football simulation. Scott Johnson joining us on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.